This is a challenging and solemn time in the life of our nation and world. A remorseless, invisible enemy threatens the elderly and vulnerable among us, a disease that can quickly take breath in life. Medical professionals are risking their own health for the health of others, and we're deeply grateful. Officials at every level are setting out the requirements of public health that protect us all, and we all need to do our part. The disease also threatens broader damage, harm to our sense of safety, security, and community. The larger challenge we share is to confront an outbreak of fear and loneliness. And it is frustrating that many of the normal tools of compassion, a hug, a touch, can bring the opposite of the good we intend. In this case, we serve our neighbor by separating from them. We cannot allow physical separation to become emotional isolation. This requires us to be not only compassionate, but creative in our outreach. And people across the nation are using the tools of technology in the cause of solidarity. In this time of testing, we need to remember a few things. First, let us remember we have faced times of testing before. Following 9/11, I saw a great nation rise as one to honor the brave, to grieve with the grieving, and to embrace unavoidable new duties. And I have no doubt, none at all, that this spirit of service and sacrifice is alive and well in America. Second, let us remember that empathy and simple kindness are essential, powerful tools of national recovery. Even at an appropriate social distance, we can find ways to be present in the lives of others, to ease their anxiety and share their burdens. Third, let's remember that the suffering we experience as a nation does not fall evenly. In the days to come, it will be especially important to care in practical ways for the elderly, the ill, and the unemployed. Finally, let us remember how small our differences are in the face of this shared threat. In the final analysis, we are not partisan combatants. We are human beings, equally vulnerable and equally wonderful in the sight of God. We rise or fall together, and we are determined to rise. God bless you all.
Good morning. Thank you for joining me this morning on this first Sunday in May of 2020. As we look to the Lord, we are going to seek His face today. We are in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. This book was written in the 530 BC area, so more than 2,500 years ago. And yet the words of the book of Daniel are so applicable to us today. Many of you remember that in the fall, we began this book and took a break for a period of time before resuming it just a couple weeks ago. You may remember that the last message that I gave back in the fall was regarding Daniel chapter 8 and a vision that the prophet Daniel saw regarding a little horn. In that chapter, Daniel was visited by an angel named Gabriel, who explained the vision to him. We've recently resumed our preaching in the book of Daniel, and we spoke on Daniel chapter 5 and then Daniel chapter 6, and now we're going to Daniel chapter 9. I mentioned last week that I'm not 100% positive that Daniel 9 came after Daniel chapter 6. I think it may have been the reverse chronologically, but what happens in Daniel chapter 6 is King Darius is on the throne and issues an unrighteous decree. And the prophet Daniel has to make a decision of whether or not he's going to obey or disobey that decree. The decree that he makes says that for the next 30 days, no one can worship anyone except for King Darius himself. Now, Darius was tricked into making this decree, But it didn't make it any less legal and any less binding. And so Daniel was, along with the rest of the people of Israel who were in Babylon, required to worship no one except for King Darius. Now, if you know anything about the Israelites and you know anything about their law, that is completely against God's law. God, who in his Ten Commandments wrote, "You shall have no other gods before me," does not look too kindly upon the worship of anyone else. Daniel made a decision that he was going to continue to do what he had done before. So 3 times a day, he went to his own home and prayed facing the east towards Jerusalem. Facing the west towards Jerusalem, I'm sorry. And continued to pray. Although I believe that the events of Daniel chapter 9 probably happened before Daniel chapter 6, in Daniel chapter 9, we have a glimpse into what Daniel may have been praying during that time. If you remember, during Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was ripped from his home and taken before the king and accused of worshiping the God Most High, the God of Israel, rather than King Darius, and thrown into the lion's den. You remember at the end of Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was delivered from the lion's den because he entrusted himself to his God, the God of Israel. In Daniel chapter 9, at the end of this passage, Daniel is revisited by that same Gabriel. And it's interesting that we see Gabriel here because this is the last time that we see him in Daniel chapter 9. Until he visits Mary before Jesus is born. So I'm going to begin reading in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, by descent a Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, perceived in the books, the number of years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. If you've watched my updates this past week, the Tuesday and Thursday one, there's all kinds of things that go into that. So many things that I couldn't fit into this message this morning regarding those 70 years. I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all people of the land. To you, O Lord, belong righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which you have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O Lord, belong open shame, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice. And the curse and oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we have sinned against him. He has confirmed his word, which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us, by bringing upon us great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been anything like what was done against Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the calamity and has brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself. As at this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill. Because of our sins and our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of the people of Israel, and presenting my plea before my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. So that's Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 21. We see right at the beginning of this chapter some of the things that we talked about in these past messages the last couple weeks. We see Darius, who is the king, and this is his first year, which puts this in around 538 BC. Daniel the prophet right now is about 80 to 82 years old. He's been serving the Lord for more than 60 years. He's been in Babylon for more than 60 years. We remember at the beginning of the book of Daniel, Daniel was taken to Babylon and he was probably about 16 years old. And now he's been seeing what the Lord has been doing in Babylon for all this time. And he reads in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah had only written this book after the Israelites had departed to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar attacked the city of Jerusalem, took the Israelites captive, took them to his kingdom. And in Jeremiah chapter 25, Jeremiah writes a letter to the exiles and he says, settle down. You're going to be there a while. It's okay. Your God is going to deliver you, but he's not going to deliver you for another 70 years. Trust him, build houses, flourish in the land, and pray for the peace of the city. That's a synopsis of what Jeremiah told them in Jeremiah chapter 25. You may be familiar with part of that passage. The Lord says in verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. But he only says that after telling the Israelites that they're going to be there for the next 70 years. Now Daniel's an old man. He's been serving the Lord a long time. And he reads in the words of the prophet Jeremiah that the captivity of Israel is about to be coming to an end. In fact, it's the same year that Darius is ruling his first year when King Cyrus issues a decree and sends Zerubbabel and a group of other Israelites back to the city of Jerusalem to begin rebuilding the temple. And within the next 100 years, Nehemiah returns to Israel and begins rebuilding the walls. And the Israelites return to Jerusalem, just as God had promised. Now, last week when we were talking about Daniel chapter 6, we talked about the idea that Daniel continued to go to his own home and three times a day prayed towards Jerusalem. I think in Daniel chapter 9, we probably have an idea of what Daniel was praying during that time. So let's look at his words. In verse 3, Daniel writes, then I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy, with fasting, with sackcloth, and with ashes. You may or may not have seen Jeff Garr's post this morning on the church's Facebook page. He's been posting every day for the last couple days a section of this Pray 714 prayer guide. This morning, what he posted is incredibly relevant to this message. You may know that 714 is a reference to 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." Every day Jeff has been posting one word out of that section and posting a reference to it that we should be praying about. Now, this morning's message that Jeff posted is about the word seek. Now let me remind you what Daniel said in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3. "Then I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy." And here's what Jeff wrote. "We often seek God's hand, wanting things from him for ourselves. Spend today seeking God's face. Look at him and worship him today. Ask him to turn his face toward our land with favor." Jeff and I didn't plan this. The Lord knew, but we didn't. I want to call us this morning to turn our faces to the Lord and seek him, to seek his will in the midst of everything that's going on, to seek his mercy and his grace on ourselves and on our land. I think that one of the most important things that we see here in this early part of the book of Daniel is Daniel's posture towards the Lord as he went to him in prayer. He's not standing and beating his chest and saying, "God, you're unrighteous in this situation, and yet we're righteous and being punished anyway." No, Daniel's posture is one of humility. He sits in sackcloth and ashes and fasts for the Lord's deliverance. And he prays, seeking God's face. And he confesses sin, and not just his own sin. He confesses his own sin, but he also confesses the sin of the entire nation to the only one that can do anything about it, the Lord God. He lifts God up in adoration. He makes confession and seeks God's justice, and he remembers his goodness. And it's only after all of that that he lifts up his requests to the Lord. He notes that God is awesome, and yet we are sinful. God is trustworthy, and yet we're iniquitous. God is loving, and we are rebellious. God is kind, but we've turned away. God is righteous, but we haven't listened. God is compassionate, but we are unfaithful. God is forgiven, but we are openly shamed. That's what Daniel says regarding his people, the chosen people, the nation of Israel. He confesses not only his sin, but he confesses the sins of the entire nation. I think if we were honest with ourselves, we would confess our own sin a lot more than we do. I think if we had a good perspective of our sinfulness and God's holiness, we would be on our face a lot more confessing our sin to him. And so today, I want to call you to that. I want to call you to take an honest look at yourself and see if there is sin in your life that you've not confessed to him. Maybe it's time right now to say, "God, you are holy and I am sinful. I seek you not because of the righteous things that I've done, as Daniel said, but because of your great mercy." And Daniel does something here that we don't usually do. It's highly unusual for us to think about confessing the sins of the nation. And yet here, that's exactly what Daniel does. He says, "Our princes, our kings, our lords, they've all sinned against you. We've sinned against you personally, and they've sinned against you as well." And he confesses their sins. It's interesting to me that less than 100 years later, Nehemiah, who must have been familiar with Daniel's words prayed something similar to that. He said, Lord, we've been unrighteous. We as a nation, we as a people, we've been unrighteous. And we need to confess our sins to you. And we need to seek your mercy and seek your grace. So that's my call to us this morning. To be honest with God, to confess our sins to him, and to seek his face. Not only for us personally, but definitely for us personally. We definitely need to be honest with God. He already knows our sins anyway. We may as well confess them to him. And then be humble and confess the sins of our nation. I mentioned on Friday that I believe that revival in the church begins with repentance of the saints. The saints need to repent before the church can be revived. And once the church is revived, the nation can be awakened. So let's do things in the right order. Let's seek God's face personally now with confession of our own sin. And let's confess the sins of our leaders and our nations. And feel free to confess my sins. I think oftentimes we have a much easier time confessing the sins of someone else, seeing the sins of someone else, than we have seen our own sin. And yet we know that we're sinners. Deep down inside, we know that if it wasn't for our sin, there would have been no reason for Jesus to come. And yet we have sinned so many times against God. We do it daily. And Jesus came because of that. He willingly came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins, knowing that we weren't going to stop sinning just because we believed in him. We still continue to sin, but he's paid for our sins, past, present, and future. We know that he's taken away the sin of the world. And we're so thankful for that. So feel free to confess my sins to the Lord. You may see them better than I do. Confess the sins of our leaders to the Lord, those who have not stood for righteousness, those who have not directed us to seek God's face. Maybe in God's great mercy, they will turn to him as well. Earlier this week, I gave you a recommended prayer. I took this prayer from the book of Daniel chapter 9, and I made it a little bit more for us. And I posted this prayer on the church's Facebook page and asked those of you who have made that decision to fast and pray on Wednesdays with the rest of the church and alongside the Evangelical Free Church of America, I asked you if you would pray this modified version of this prayer. In closing this morning, I want to pray it again. And I'll post it again as well so that we can continue praying this prayer. This prayer of confession of our sins and repentance for our nation. This prayer, it's not magic words by any means. It's just modeled after a prayer that a very faithful man of God prayed, the prophet Daniel. And the prophet Daniel received his results immediately. It says, as he was still praying. Now, we may not receive our results immediately, but we do trust God that he always answers our prayer, whether it's yes, no, wait, keep praying, be conformed to my will, and then I can answer your prayer. Remember, God has promised that if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And yet, we may not always pray according to his will. And that's why we continue to pray. We continue to pray for the same things until we see God answer. And over that time, he slowly conforms our will to his. Until we're praying his will, and he can answer our prayer requests. But let's start with this. Let's start with confession of our sins and confession of the sins of our people. And see what God does. Here's our modified version of Daniel's prayer. O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commandments and regulations. Lord, you are in the right, but as you see, our faces are covered with shame. This is true of all of us, O Lord, but we are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. But the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God. We have disobeyed your instruction and turned away, refusing to listen to your voice. O Lord our God, you brought everlasting honor to your name by rescuing your people from Egypt in a great display of power. But we have sinned and are full of wickedness. In view of all your faithful mercies, Lord, please turn your furious anger away from us. O Lord God, hear your servant's prayer. Listen as I plead. For your own sake, Lord, smile again on your people. O my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes and see our despair. We make this plea not because we deserve help, but because of your mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. For your own sake, do not delay. O my God, for your people. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those who have been watching today. I pray, Lord, that you would bring conviction on them, that you would help them to see where they are sinful, that you would help them to humble themselves and confess their sins before you. Lord, I pray for the sins of our nation. Father, I pray because we have sinned and done wickedly before you, and you alone can deliver. We pray for your deliverance, Lord. We pray that you would heal our land. For your own sake, O Lord, we pray that you would receive the glory when you do heal our land. Father, may you be glorified by our lives and by our prayers, and may we be dedicated to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. I love you, and I will see you soon.